Okay, good morning. We're up to Perek Gimel Pasuk Yud Beis. Pasuk Beis Kies Asher Yehav Hashem Yechiyach Chav Es Bein Yirtze. Mishlei Perek Gimel Pasuk Yud Beis. Yud Beis. Okay, so after spending some time learning Eoiv, this pasuk should be familiar to us. Ki es Asher Yehav Hashem Yichich, to one that Hashem loves, Hashem rebukes, and like a father who Yirtze tries to appease his son. This is very interesting. Rashi, let's first see the Mitzudos, a very simple translation. Pasuk Beis Yochiach. Legalois ozno liyasher darko. Yochiach means musr. Okay, so you're just translating what does it mean, musr? To reveal to your ear, I guess, something harsh, liyasher darko, in order that a person should straighten out his way. Ucha'ov, and like a father, uchamoha avasher yichavein behako. With the intent of the when a father hits a child, what is his intent as he hits his child? Leratzos espino lehetiv darko. Now, how is he translating the word leratzos? It seems to me that he's really saying the same thing as Rashi is going to say, but when the Mitzudos Sion says ritzui upius, to appease, while he's hitting his son, the hitting is a technique that directing and of influencing his son lehitiv darko, in order to better his way. Velo linkom nakam, and the father never does not have any intent, chas v'shalom, to take revenge. So when the father is bringing punishment, upon physical punishment upon his son, the kavan is not to bring upon him, take revenge, to punish him, but rather the intent is purely that he should make his ways better.
Like a form of
musr. Because the Yirt said, the problem with which the Mitzudah is alluding to, and Rashi is going to really add a lot of things in the part that does not say, is appeasement, pius. Pius, and we normally understand the word pius in reference to talking quietly and gently. You whisper and you kiss the person, you put your hand, you pat the person. That's the way we normally associate ritzui with. We never associate ritzui taking out a baseball bat and banging someone. That's not called ritzui. That's called nokom, hakar. That's not the way we try to tie ritzui. But over here, the Mitzvah seems to be saying that no, not necessarily. Ritzui all depends upon your kavana. If your kavana is that the child, good morning, the child should better his way, then even taking a baseball bat and beating him up, that also fits into the definition of ritzui. And that's what the pasuk says: "Suchalak a father es bein yirtze." He is mifayis. He attempts to persuade his child to better his way in life. Although that may, in the context of this pasuk, we have the word yochiach, which means rebuke. In this context, it means to actually hit, to hit, and to abuse. Okay, but Rashi adds a lot more into the pasuk. Look at Rashi pasuk: "Suchav es bein yirtze shereitze bibino." Our father wants lehitiv lo. Now here comes the perish. V'yafasehu la'achar shemakehu. So that's not in the pasuk. First, the pasuk gets itself on the. So first, the father is going to take out a whip and beat up his son, and the son's going to be crying, and the son's going to be in pain. Now the father afterwards will speak softly and gently to the child and explain, the reason why I did this to you was because I want you to better your way. La'achar shemakehu b'shevet. After the father hits the son with a rod. Cain, ye'arav l'cho ha'tov. Cain, ya'arv l'cho ha'toiva, so to HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make pleasant, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make sweet for man, ha'toiva, good, achar ha'maka, after the maka. Again, if you look at the Mitzudas very carefully, that's not what it says. The Mitzudas seems to disagree with Rashi. According to the Mitzudas, we're taking a very loose translation of the word yiratzeh. Even the act of hitting itself with nothing else coming later on, the father could take out a whip his son and walk away. And the son on his own will have to understand that the fact that his father hit him was for the purpose that he should be better. Even if the father never says one one word to him later on in his life. Rash doesn't say that. It's self-understood. There is an act of punishment, and after the act of punishment is complete, the father will then step in and tries to be miratza to appease his child. So they say,
is that the same way, is that the way he's learning also in the first half of the pasuk?
Rashi is silent. Right, but Rashi doesn't say anything there. Rashi is quiet. So maybe you have to also say this. Yochiach means to give Musar. And then after the Musar, this father is Miratzeh. Or maybe the two go together. Maybe Rashi really means that it's all part of the same process. Ki es asher yehav Hashem Yochiach. Well, it's really, you're changing from Hashem to a father. Uchav espein yirtzeh. Okay, I assume Rashi must mean the two things together. They say this about, you know, if you read the...
No, what he's saying is Hashem is giving you punishment.
Yeah.
He doesn't talk to you afterwards and be you, Maratza, but just the way like a father's Maratza and a son...
After the father hits him, we should understand...
Okay. He's really giving you with the same...
The same approach. Okay, every so often you come across an article in a Jewish history book or a magazine that you know, from the a religious Hashgacha, where there's a certain cycle in Jewish history where Kadosh Baruch Hu brings upon Klal Yisrael a Makkah, and then there's a Ritzi. They say this very often, the State of Israel. After the Holocaust, the worst Makkah we had in our history, then Hashem gave us the gift, State of Israel. Okay, you go through history, other different kufas. I don't remember all the different events that how were interpreted by Gedolei Yisrael as a ritzui that followed a makkah.
How do you define a ritzui?
It's relative. In Echnami, not everyone will tell you that the State of Israel is a ritzui, obviously.
No.
What?
How do you define the term?
Ritzui is appeasement, pious. Everyone seems to say ritzui means pious, appeasement. And the problem with the pasuk is if the subject is yochiach, and yochiach means rebuke, which is harsh, the word pious, yirtzeh, doesn't fit. That's what the Mitzudos and Rashi are dealing with. Mitzudos says, it's very clear, chmo av asher yichavein b'hako. The hakah itself is a technique, l'ratzos espino. But that's not the way we use the word l'ratzos. Well, in this pasuk it is. Through the hakah, the kavana, the ikar is the kavana, l'heitiv darkov lo linkom nakam. Rashi says you can't abuse the word. That's not what the word means. The ritzah means softness, gentleness. So you have to say that the ritzah comes after the hakah, the invisible hakah that is here in this pasuk.
Could it possibly be that...
Ka'ovash as bein yirtzeh doesn't say that. Yirtzeh means pious.
Actually, that is the way it's used in many other places, like say,
yeah, but it's a different form. Yirtzeh, it's a different. It's a yirtzeh loshen osit. Yirtzeh with the yud in the front. It's a different expression. It would not seem to have that. Good morning. Would not seem to have that. Okay. Now there is a. This is a very famous Gemara. The beginning of Masechta Brachos. Okay. For some reason they don't have it here. They don't. In this Eitzah Hamidrashim, they don't have it. But it's another very powerful Gemara. I'll read the Gemara. Imroye Adam sheyisurin bohin olav. And a person, Rachman al-Islam, sees that things are not going his way. What should he do? Yifashfesh b'masav. A person should take inventory. Thank you very much. Yishukoyach. A person, Yifashfesh b'masav, should take inventory. He should inspect his ways. Pishfesh v'loy matzah. Let's say he analyzes his ways and does not find that he is doing anything wrong for which he deserves this to suffer. Yitle. Bebitul Torah. He should assume that the reason why he's suffering is for the sin of Bitul Torah. V'im tolav leimot. So let's say even that he inspects and he noted that he takes note that he did not even waste 1 second a day of Bitul Torah. Biyadua. What?
He didn't miss Kail
even one day. He didn't come late even one day. Biyadua sheyusum shel ahavahein. Okay, then he should recognize that he's in a different league, like Eoiv. Okay, he's in the category of Eiv Le'ar Yisum Shel Ava. Hashem is bringing upon the suffering not for any particular sin that he has done. These are obviously very difficult things to understand what they mean. This is what Eiv. Listen, we spent all those days on Eiv. Shenemar and the Gemara Masech, the Bracha Stafei quotes this very pasuk in Mishle Paragimel, pasuk Yudbeis Ki Es Asher Yehav, the one to whom Hashem loves. Yochiach, Hashem rebukes, and this means the love. With the pasuk, the Gemara over there is telling us about this pasuk that this rebuke, not like what Rashi and the Mitzudo says, Ritzu Derachav. It's nothing more than Yisurin Shel Ahava. What does this mean? No one knows. I don't think there's anyone today that can really. Yisurin Shel Ahava. This was the Yiv. Listen, that's what we really have. There is no. It's a matter of emuna. Hashem has his reasonings. The three friends, the four friends, they tried very hard to explain to Eiv that the reason why you suffer is because you have sinned. That's what Rashi says. Isn't that the topic of Rashi and the Mitzudas? Lehitiv darko. The child has done a sin. He's not following a proper derech in life. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to step in and give him rebuke. Yochiach. Like a father is meratze the son after the hakah. That's what the three friends told Eiv. Bildad, Sefar. Who's the third one? I forget everything. Bildad, Sefar, and Eliphaz. So and what did Hashem say? You know, you're talking about. Eiv didn't sin. And here the pasuk itself says that at least according to Rashi and the Mitzudos, that a person did sin. But the Gemara goes, no, the Gemara then says it's not what the pasuk means. Yehav means there is no sin whatsoever. Now, what is the. Yeah.
Is not based on.
Punishment, no.
It diminishes the punishment in Olam Haba.
We don't know how these things work. We have no idea. We have no idea how these things work. All we know is that there is such a concept where a person can receive Yisurim for doing nothing wrong. Why? How? Why is this so? It's because we don't see the big picture. Even if we did see the big picture, we would not necessarily understand the big picture because the Kadoshbarku's machshavos are not something which we necessarily understand. It's a madrega which I don't think there is today anyone, I can't speak for the whole world, I don't know, it goes on out there that we, the Gedolim said that we don't know what these things mean. Yisurim Shel Ahava. He spoke about
it.
Yeah. By the fact that the person has Yisur means that Kadosh Baruch Hu is paying attention. Exactly. That's a very deep idea. That's like typical for Rosh Hashanah. That's a very, very deep idea. The fact that Kadosh Baruch Hu, now that he ignored me totally, now I know that Kadosh Baruch Hu is thinking about me because this is L'malo Mederech HaTeva, that such a thing. That's really the whole story of Eiv. The fact that Kadosh Baruch Hu went and paid so much attention to bring upon him such suffering for no reason whatsoever is in itself a recognition of the love. Es asher yehav Hashem. Hashem has incredible love. Do we want such love? Obviously not. But there is such a thing. Yeah. What do you mean, Amir?
Like your kid, you know, he says, I daven to Hashem every day.
Yeah.
He answers me. Yeah. Every day he says to me, no.
Why only a kid?
I mean, a kid?
Many adults feel the same way. Okay, now, the Gemara, just to explain this Gemara over here, and this is a fantastic sefer, I always bring this every day, it's called Mishlei Divrei Chachamim Im Beor Divrei Yaakov. Yeah, it's a very nice explanation. Hey, thank you very much. Bye. Thank you. The Mechaber is published by Mesudah Rav Kook by Rav Yaakov Shechter. I bring it almost every day because he has some really good stuff. Besides the fact that he brings Midrashim, which the other some do not bring, but he also explains every single Medrash. Very clear, very long footnotes. And he explains Shah and the Gemara. What Shah and this Gemara? What?
It's not easy to do.
It's not. That's the Mark. Because, you know, this one he just brings the Medrash. He brings the Medrash, he selects Midrashim, there's no. He every so often he puts and he injects in brackets some Be'er. But here he has long explanations and he quotes from all different sources to explain the Mamari Chazal. None of the Midrashim, Gemaras. So he just explains Shah and the Gemara. What is from Shah and the Gemara? The person finds himself in the Matzav of Yisurim, Yifashvesh B'masav. He has to assume the first step is that he's doing something wrong. He's doing an aver, he's causing some tzar, he's not 100% in other lamokim, other machavera. Let's say he is mefashe sur masav and does not discover anything wrong. The next step is Yitla bibitul Torah. Now, when I told you this, we simply understand this to mean that you don't spend enough time learning Torah. The Talmud Torah keneged kulam. We say this every day in the Mishnah after Birchas Mishnah after Birchas HaTorah. There are many beautiful things in this world, but the Ikar is Talmud Torah. But that's not necessarily the only Pshat in the Gemara. What it means is when a person learns Torah, he now discovers what he has done wrong. In other words, a person is Nama Oretz, he doesn't realize that it's still an apostle. He doesn't realize that he's Nichshol in Ribbis. He doesn't realize that he's not being Nizer in Shabbos. He doesn't realize that he's doing things which are Achil Hashem. So it's ignorance. So he's Yifash Vesh B'masav. What?
Blissful ignorance.
Now when he studies Torah, forget about the deeper Pshat. There's a punishment, there's a tviya that he should be spending this time in koilo. That's not for everyone. Not everyone is held accountable for every moment he should be sitting and learning more and more. It's just basic kitzur shulchan aruch. You gotta know the basics. If you don't know the halacha, menela, you're gonna be doing things that are wrong. So yitla bibitul Torah. Then what does he do? Then he goes to all the halacha shirim, and he has halacha down solid, and then he reanalyzes his deeds. He discovers he's doing nothing wrong. So now what's pshat? Now it's Yisurim Shel Av. This pshat in the Gemara is a whole different twist. There's no never be a tzvi on a person for being he has an bittul Torah that he should be sitting and learning the whole day. That's not pshat in the Gemara. You have to learn. Obviously, learning Torah is a very important thing, but there's never going to be a tzvi that a person is going to suffer Yisurim because he didn't sit in koilo. It's because there's a different type of learning to know what the halacha is.
Rabbi, you're saying that each person should maximize their potential.
What?
It's guilty until proven innocent.
Guilty until proven innocent. That's the difference. This mahal. Yeah. Mr. Wexler.
Saying that each person should maximize their potential.
Every person knows. You don't have to tell a person what to do. 99% of the people know where they need, what they need to do. You know, every person knows their limits. Not everyone knows how much time they should be sitting and learning, and how much time they should be relaxing and doing other things. Every person, you can't generalize these even mitzvahs. Everyone is different. Okay, now there's another important chazal elaborates on Yisum Shel, thing with Yisum Shel Av. What exactly are Yisum Shel Av? So I'll read the Gemara says Pligi Ba. Rabbi Yaakov bar Idi, Rabbi Acha bar Chanina, Chanan one says, Elohim Yisum Shel Av kol she'ein bohen bitul Torah. It only can be called when a person realizes that he's suffering and he wants to know, is it because I did an Avera? I'm not doing mitzvos, or is it because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to elevate me? The litmus test to know is because of this Yisurim, is he now unable to study Torah? If he is not able to keep up his daily siddurim and learning, whatever they may be on his individual level, that means the Yisurim are not Shalava. Now it's not for us to say this really today anymore, and we're not on a madrega to make these assessments. It's foolish in our generation to make any assessments whatsoever. But these are at least conceptual things that we shouldn't take with us whatever we can gain. V'chadamar, another opinion says, Elohim Yisrim Shalava, kol she'ein bohem bitul tfila. If you're not able to daven the way you normally do, person, there are people out there that are very good, big Baalei Tzvila, they come, they daven early, and it has very great meaning to them, and now he finds himself ill, and he's unable to continue. That's not Yisudin Shel Av, it's taking away from Yavoidus Hashem. And the Gemara concludes, Amaluhu Rabbi Abba Bered Rabbi Chia Bar Abba, Hochiyam Rabbi Chia Bar Abba, this Rabbi Bar Abba said, there's no machlokes. Each opinion is just presenting one side of the coin. Torah and tefillah go together. And if a person has yisurim, but he's still able to maintain his daily seder of learning and able to daven, that is called Esasher, our pasuk here, Esasher Yehav, Hashem Yechiyach, Hashem showing him a sign of love. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Ashrei Adam Motza Chochma V'Adam Yafik Tivuna. Fortunate, praiseworthy. Ashrei is a very hard word to translate. That's the beginning of Sefer Tehillim. We say it every single day. Ashrei, what does Ashrei mean? Ashrei means happy. Happy or fortunate or praiseworthy, deserving of praise. There are many translations. I didn't really look into the exact translation in the context of this pasuk, but those are the basic translations. Is an Adam, is a man, Motza Chachma, who has found Chachma, the Adam, and a man, Yafik, from whom it goes forth, Tivuna, understanding. Only found, let's first see the Mesudos. This pasuk, you pasuk at Gimel, the Adam, Musaf al Ashrei. The second Vadam is going back on the word Ashrei. It's as if we have to repeat the word Ashrei twice. That Ashrei Adam Yafik Tivuna Loimar Ashrei LaAdam Imoitzias Hatzvuna Min HaChachma. A person that's mostly finds Tivuna from Chachma. Tivuna does not materialize out of thin air. There's a step. First comes Chachma, from the Chachma comes Tfuna. We had this many times. Bina is the step. Bina and Tfuna are one and the same. Mevin Davar, Mitoch Davar. It's the next step. Ratzalaymar. Chachma, Bina, Vodas. So when it's Das? Das, L'chor, we assume is an earlier step. Okay, so I don't know. Okay, well, I don't know. Right now, let's look at these two words. We have Chachma and Tvuna, and the Tvuna is something which comes forth from Chachma, Mevin, Dov, Mitoch, Dov, Rashi, Ashra, Adam, Motza, Chachma, Vodam, Yapit, Tvuna, Sheloi, made Chachma. Okay, Rashi adds some Bayer into this pasuk. He learns Chachma. Ad, Sheshagurihi, the Chachma, the knowledge is fluent. The Chachma, the body of knowledge. Chachma is the body of knowledge, is fluent. Lahaitzi mi piv, until it comes forth from his mouth. And it comes forth in the form of Tivuna, which is Mevin Dava Mitoch Dava, which is a higher level. Now, there's just I only came across one medrash on this pasuk. It's in the Oitzah HaMidrashim. It says there, every time we find Chachma, we will always find Tivuna. Okay, the two cannot be separated. When it's Chachma, there is Tfuna. Read the exact words. Bo rei shekol makom shemaskir hachochma humamid etzlo habina vehatvuna. Whenever you'll find the pasuk in Tanakh Chochma, just search further. Keep on going down the line. Keep on going to the next pasuk. You'll find bina tvuna lelamdcha shachochma vehabina shnehem shavim. They're the same. The ein nifradim zo mizo le'olam. They cannot be separated one from the other. Now that basically means what?
They can't be the same.
Bina is a higher level. But I think what he means to say is, this is an expression, there's no such thing as a parva yid. You ever hear that expression? You're either growing or you're falling. No person, there's no such thing in the world, the spiritual world, you always move, there's always movement. There's no such thing as stagnation. Doesn't exist. You're going higher or you're sinking. In Chachma, it's the same thing. Especially in Chachma Satara. It's either you're going forward, if there's Chachma, you're going forward to Bina. And if you're not going forward in Chachma, then the Chachma disappears.
You're not going up, you're automatically
going down. Going down. So if there is a growth in Chachma, that automatically means it's going to lead to a higher level of Bina, because you're moving. There's movement. There's no such thing as just Chachma. I have acquired knowledge, I've got my degree, and that's it. I'm finished. We all know things we learn in college and high school, how many things do we remember? If you don't review, everyone going today and take out your textbooks and review everything you've learned, if you're not gonna keep on going in Chachma.
Well, isn't the definition of Chachma?
Yeah.
I mean, if you don't have Bina, you don't have Chachma, because Bina, the Chachma means Bina, it's understandable.
No, not necessarily. No. Bina, it appears to be a higher level. Chachma is, you know, the basics. You know the basics. Bina is the ability to compare one form of science to another, and through comparison and analysis, you're able to bring out forth yafik. Yafik means to bring forth new ideas, new concepts. That's tivuna. Tivuna is what comes forth by comparing different elements in the knowledge that you have acquired.
Are you saying life is like trying to walk up an escalator going down?
Exactly.
You
Exactly. Very good. Exactly. If you just stand on the escalator, you're going to get hurt. When it comes to the bottom, you have to exactly. It's a great muscle. Okay. There's another one other point I want to make is it says here the word matzah, and this is so true. A person's success in chachma, even chachma, is a gift. There's a difference between an aveda and a mitzia. An aveda is something which belongs to you. It's just at this moment I don't know where it is. I have to search for it. Mitzia, I never expected. I'm traveling on the road. I never expect to find $1 million, a diamond on the road. I never expected a mitzia. There are different mamar chazal which bring up this point. Yogati here, yogati umotzasi tamin. What does that mean? A person is studying a sugya. He's studying a difficult sugya, difficult daf, and he doesn't understand it. He doesn't understand. Nochamo, yogati. Review it again. Eventually, yogati umotzasi. That's not the right word. Yogati, I have toiled, and what would be a good word? Or Michal, what do you think? Yogati, viacholti, and I have attained. You have to think about some better words. So the word matzasi is not the word you would use if you were the editor. I was saying it's sliach, yogati v'hitzlachti, or v'yacholti, like we have that, we have the Bayakov, for Yaakov.
Overcome
a difficulty. If you were the editor of the Mishnayis, you would not have chosen the word matzasi, because the word matzasi has a connotation that it's something that it's not shaykh to me. A mitzia is a find.
Discover.
You discover. Discover. You don't go out.
It should have been, I was looking for discovery.
Well, you don't even. It's not even something. It's not something you can expect. A mitzia is a gift. It's not something. But exactly the mefarshim on that Mishnah, Yogati Umatsasi, indeed tell us is that to understand anything in this world is a gift. It's a divine gift. HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts the machshava into your mind. Anytime a person is in doubt with a chokhmah, it's a gift. How do you acquire that gift? Well, it's not like chokhmah is not like everything else in this world. Everything else in this world, if you work, you'll accomplish. You'll work on building a building. You'll lay the bricks, lay the foundation, put up the floor, the sheetrock, and the wiring, and the plumbing. You'll have a building. That's the way the physical world is. But in the world of Chochmah, it's a gift. And the steps don't necessarily make sense. You toil, do the best that you can, and then when the day is over, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you Siyata Deshmaya that cannot be explained. There's no one that can come and show to connect the dots. Connect the dots, from here you reach this point. Doesn't work like that. It is a gift. And that's what the Pasuk here says, Ashrei Adam, fortunate and happy, praiseworthy is this person that reaches the point of Matzah, where he found Chochmah. How did he find Chochmah? Well, you gotta go to the Mishnah. The Mishnah says you gotta go to the steps. It's not gonna happen by itself. Yogati. But you have to realize that when the day is over, it's not due to your toil, it's only due to the gift of Matzah Chochmah. And then the Adam Yafik Tavun.
You have to say that Ashrei means fortunate is the person.
Fortunate.
Say that he's praiseworthy.
Well, praiseworthy in that he toiled. He worked hard. And he was gifted, she was blessed with this gift. So there's also, he's a worthy person. Okay, now we come to Pasuk Yudalit. Ki toiv sachna mischar kosef umechorutz tivu asa. Now what does this mean? Let's see first the Mitzvah's Pasuk Yudalit. Ki toiv mischar hachochma. The merchandise of wisdom. We're comparing wisdom to merchandise. Mi mischar hakesef, from the merchandise of silver. Kimish, and little why? So the Mitzvah says, Kimish, min lekez mechir hakesef, lo yishar hakesef biyado, when you purchase something, I pay money and I acquire a commodity, but the money is no longer here. I have my hard-earned money. I've given you $1,000 to buy a bar of gold, whatever gold costs, whatever it costs. I give you I no longer have my hard-earned cash. The American dollar is no longer with me. My account has been depleted. What do I have in exchange? I have a commodity. I have a bar of silver, a barrel of oil, whatever I have, a commodity. Why do I want the barrel of oil? For whatever reason, it's a good investment. But what I have, but the money is no longer with me. And the person who has given me the barrel of oil, the bar of silver, the bar of gold, whatever it is, no longer has that. There's been an exchange, it's a barter. And the commodity, we're calling the commodity is not beyond acher. The loy came bidvar ha chokhma. Chokhma, why? Ki es misha loy made im acher ha chokhma. Achas bimichir. Ki misha loy made im acher. Chokhma achas bimichir in exchange for limud. Chokhma acheres. I'll learn with you and you learn with me. I know mesacht above a kama and you know mesacht above a metzia. I'll trade you. I'll pay you. I want to acquire mesecht above a metzia. So, what are you going to give me? What are you going to give me in exchange? I'll teach you bava kama. Oh, you'll teach me. It's a good deal. So, I'll teach you bava kama, and in exchange, you'll teach me bava metzia. And when the day is over, what do we both have?
Both.
Exactly. That's the point over here. So as mishlemet nemacher chokmas achas b'mechir limud chokmacheres imkain shenehem. Both biyad kol echad v'yachad. The mela, that's what the pasuk means according to the Mrs. Rashi. It's come out the same exact thing in a moment. Ki toiv sachra mischar kosa, which basically means over here, the word toiv is a whole new translation. Toiv means better. That's not what you normally translate the word toiv. By Moshe Rabbeinu vayaro so ki tov hu. What does it mean there? Nolad mohol. Every context. Vayaro l'kemes ha'or ki toiv. What is it? Ain't it kedai for the people in this world to be nene from the or we have to put it away for somewhere else. Every context, the word tov is an amazing word because every place in Tanakh it means something completely different. And here as well, it's like a word which doesn't have a real translation. It's totally subject to the context. There are many words. It has a translation. It stands on its own. You can put it in the museum on a pedestal. It stands on its own. The word tov has no chomer, has no substance. It's purely relative to the context. Yeah.
What's the point of the word ki here, though?
That.
Because,
that.
No, but you could have... the pasuk would have stood without the word ki.
Aha, I see what you're saying.
But ki can have five different meanings.
No, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm just saying, why is it even a necessary key word here? Why
is it? Maybe it's an explanation of the previous possible.
Yeah, but it would work without that.
Ki toiv sachro mischar kosa.
It's an explanation of the previous
possible. It's an explanation of the previous possible. I agree with it. It's an explanation of the previous possible.
Okay, who are you saying? I don't know. I hear it's very important.
Asia's Isles, Kitoiv is like goes together.
They go together. Ah, you're saying Kitoiv goes together. Is there a dash there in Mishlei? There is a dash?
There's
a dash there, but here there's no dash. There's nothing connecting the two.
Right, Vayar Hashem
Kitoiv.
You could have just said
Vayar Hashem Tov. Vayar Hashem Kitoiv. The first time it is by R, I just want to put this point. This is not my idea. I heard it said they want R, by the way, Light is not something which is tangible. Vayar lokim es ha'or ki tov. Every time you want to know a word, define a word, there's a mesorah from Chaim Volozhin and all the mukbalim. The first time a word appears in Tanakh, that is the essence, that is the true essence of the word. The first place the word tov appears, ki tov, is by or. Or, and even Chazal go on to say, or is something which is, it was nignas for olam haba. So you see the word kitov as a definition, as the means of describing an adjective of something that's spiritual, which has no essence. That's why every time you take the word tov in Tanakh, leman yitav loch v'horach toyam liyaseres hadibros. Person should be mechabed his parents, leman yitav loch. What's the tov? It's not something which can be defined. It's not something, it's something which is like or. spiritual are. It can't be defined. It's relative to every situation, every person, every situation. That's so here we having that use in Mishlei. Ki toiv sachar mischar kosef. The nature, the goodness of Torah is not something which can be compared to anything physical in this world. And here he gives a mashal what that means. And then the pasuk mecharutz. Mecharutz is gold. Charutz, there are seven types of gold. Charutz is one of the most valuable forms of gold. Look, it's interesting. It's called Zahav Tov. It's a play on the word Kitov. There's Zahav Tov. We had the different seven types of gold. And one is called Zahav Tov. It's a form of gold. That's Charutz. Look in the Mitzudot Tzion. Umei Charutz, he has Zahav HaTov. Another example where it's a certain type of a precious stone. Okay, let's see the mitzvahs for the word tvuasa. What does it mean? Tvuasa pri hachochma. Tvuasa means the fruit, means grain. But in this context, it means it's like it's. This word is parallel to the word tvuna. Just like in the previous pasuk yud, maybe that's what is the key. Michal, maybe that answers your question, because pasuk yud dalid is a continuation of pasuk yud gimel, where there is chokhma and there is tevuna. So l'choy was saying is that the sachra is the schar kesef is kineged the chokhma, and the chorutz tevuasa, the fruit. The fruit, the peros that comes forth from the ground, which is equivalent to the tevuna, that's yafik, which comes forth from chachma, is more precious than chorutz, than this thing chorutz, which means precious gold, zahav toif. Chorutz only means to make a diligence, to make a furrow, to make an impression, a charitza. Okay, it's used in different ways, but in this context, it refers to gold. In this particular context, let's see. Tvuasa pri hachochma ratzulaymar ma shehevin midaitoy mitoicha dvar hachochma shalomat. What you understand, bina. This is the mitzudos' interpretation. It parallels the word from the previous pasuk. What you understood from your knowledge through the chochma shalomat. Hine toive hi mecharutz. It's even more precious than the finest gold. Rashi says, come out the same thing. Rashi ki toiv. Sachra mischar kesef kol chilufin sha'ada machlif bischara, with regard to all exchanges, all forms of barter and any exchange, zenoitel zev zenoitel zeh. Aval ha'aymel chaver shanali pirkcha. Person says to his friend, "Teach me your perik, what you know, your knowledge, and I will repay you by teaching you what I know." Vani eshtelucha pirki, my perik. Nimsu shneim biyad kol echad viyachad. That's what a chavrusa is. Every two chavrus, they come together. Each one brings to the table their own perspective on the sugya, and through the exchange of ideas, it's a barter, but it's on a much more subtle level, and that's really kitoiv sacha mischar kosef. The engagement you have learning b'chavrus is much more valuable than any business transaction. I know someone every day, that's a whole parnas. He goes and he meets at lunch, and he meets with people, and they talk business. That's his parnassi. He represents investors, all different. So what is he doing the whole day? Just exchanging money. I'll invest $1 million in this company and you'll give me shares. So what are you doing? All you're doing the whole day over lunch is exchange. And someone who goes to lunch and learn, what are you doing? It's not an exchange. You sit and learn the chavrusa. You go to a daf yomi shir. But it's an exchange that's saying both people walk away. Mitalmidai yoyser mikulei, both gain. Even if the talmidim don't say anything, they both gain. So exactly what it says over here. Chorutz, Rashi says min zahavu. He's not as explicit as the mitzudos zahav toiv, but he says min zahav. It's more valuable than the fruit mitvuasad. The tvuasad, the fruit that comes forth from the Torah, is more valuable than chorutz. Okay. There was a medrash. There was some medrash I wanted to say. I don't even remember. Give me one quick. Okay, no. Okay, that's it. Let's go to the next pasuk. Next pasuk is a very famous pasuk. Yikorahi mipninim. It's a kivuchsev. I never was aware of that. That this famous pasuk mipninim. I was never even aware until today even yesterday when I was preparing, I wasn't aware of this until now. I noticed it over here that it's a kuvachsif. That's not really the way it says in the pasuk. Mip niyim, and it fits very well with the medrash which I prepared, that I did prepare, and I'll send it in a moment. But it's really a kuvachsif mip niyim. But we read it mip ni nim to nuns, which means pearls. Torah is more precious than pearls. V'chol chafotzecha lo yishvu vah, and all of your desires don't match, are not equal to the value of the Torah. Now, what does this mean? So first, let me tell you a very beautiful mashal from the Mamlois. The Mamlois says, why is Torah being compared to pearls and telling us that it's even more valuable than pearls? Because pearls, at least in ancient times, and I'm sure it's true today, have a certain quality that's not found by other commodities. If you have a bar of gold, let's say a bar of gold is worth $1,000, an ounce of gold is worth $1,000. So let me, how much do you, if you have 2 ounces of gold, even if you were to mold them, melt them together, it's $2,000. If I have 3 ounces of gold, it's $3,000. I can melt them into one piece, one bar. It's just triple. It's triple what the original. But when it comes to a pearl, if you have a pearl that, let's say the diameter is whatever, 3 millimeters, whatever it is, and it's worth $1,000, and then you have another pearl that's just a little bit bigger, a fraction bigger, it's not worth $2,000. So let's say it's double, the diameter is double or slightly bigger.
If it's the same size, if you have a matched pair, that it's already more expensive.
Well, because you have a match.
Right.
But let's say even it itself is just a little bit bigger. It's double the size, it's double the weight, double the diameter. Is it worth double? It's worth 10 times more.
Diamonds.
Okay, diamonds. Pearls. Okay, but pearls as well. Pearls.
We don't understand both diamonds.
Because we don't know. There are today pearls that are more valuable than diamonds. Right. Yeah, now our understanding is diamonds.
A 5-carat diamond is worth a lot more than 5 times a 1-carat.
Exactly. So the more you have, the proportion, the value explodes, exponentially grows as it gets larger and larger.
Because it's more rare, and therefore. Wow.
It's not just right. It's not just more rare. It's a different commodity. So the same thing the Mamlois says. That's what the pasuk means when we compare Torah. But Torah is even greater. If a person knows one Mishnah, excellent. He has Olam Haba. He'll take with him. Let's say you know two Mishnayos. Does this mean you'll come to Olam Haba with a double reward? Double compared to the person who only knows one Mishnah? No. Knowing two Mishnayos is infinitely, by learning another Mishnah, the Torah knowledge has broadened. So your reward or your pleasure in Olam Haba is exponentially greater than just one Mishnah. Not double. Likewise, 3, 4, the more you know, the bliss, the Olam Haba grows exponentially, exactly like pearls, but even more than pearls. Whatever ratio you will establish for the difference between different sized pearls, it's even greater when it comes to your breadth of Torah knowledge. This is the beautiful mashal from the Mamlois. Okay, now we all know the famous Chazal Yikarihi Mipni Nim. I think this is really where it comes from. Pnim. That's really based upon the ksiv, the way it is spelled. It's not spelled with another yud. It's spelled mip niyim, which is the word pnim. Pnim, pniyim, inside.
Inward.
What is the most hidden place in the world? What part of the world is the most hidden of hidden? The Kodesh HaKodashim. The Kodesh HaKodashim, the place where no one is allowed to enter, the Torah says. It's the only place in the world that the Torah says you may not go. Can you imagine? You can go, it's like Gan Eden. It's like Hashem took Adam outside and told Adam, you can eat from the 8th Sadas. There's a great parallel between going into the Kodesh HaKodashim. We have to assume that the Yetzirah, we don't understand this, but the Yetzirah took for an average person to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim is so great that we it's off the charts. We can't relate to it. Why? Because it's the only place in the world Hashem told us we can't go. You can go on vacation wherever you want. You want to go to Iran? I'm sure if you really want to go, you can get yourself in. one way or another.
You'll get to one way ticket.
I don't know. I'm sure the Mossad. I'm sure. Just sign up for the CIA or the Mossad. They'll get you in. Okay, you can go wherever you want. There's only one place in the world you can go. The Kodesh HaKadoshim. Even the Kodesh also, the Kodesh, well, the Repair Crew, that's right, so that's a very good point. The Repair Crew can't be, they can't enjoy it. They can't take pleasure in being there. Okay, but so, and therefore, Adam, Hashem gave Adam and Chava the whole world. We call Eitz Hagan, Ochol Tochal. You can eat from the whole. Just me Eitz Hadas Toivara, that you can't eat. What did Adam have to eat from Eitz Hadas? He has the whole world. Every exotic fruit, every coconut you can possibly want is available. I had to eat only until Shabbos. He was born Friday afternoon. What's the big deal? So don't eat from the cholent until Shabbos night. What's so hard? The Yetzer, if this is what I'm not allowed, Zel Uma Zed, the Yetzer Hara is burning. This is what you have. So you can imagine, Yizban Shabbos HaMikdash HaYakayam, the Yetzer Hara that a person had to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim was off the charts. That's why they were guards. They were guards, Kohanim, Levim. Their doors were locked up at night. To us, it seems so bizarre, but we don't appreciate what life was like and the Yetzer Hara, how we were living among us. But
one of the reasons why the divorce rate is so high nowadays, because the Yetzer Hara of having the forbidden woman is better than the wife you have. It's a statistic. The second reason for the
war. Okay, that's a deep. Okay, we have here. So here we have the famous Chazal that Torah is more choviv than going in to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Yikarhi the Talmud Chacham. Am Ha'aretz, Talmud Chacham is more Choviv than a Kohen Gadol Am Ha'aretz Shenichnas Lifnai V'Lifnim. Let me read you the words of the Gemara. The Gemara says, Yikar, this Gemara appears in many Horios. First, Horios, if you give them an Al, but it appears in many places, in different contexts. Mahu Mipninim, Elo Lamdenu Shemamzer. I left the word Mamzer. A Mamzer Talmud Chacham. Can you imagine a Mamzer? Koidem Lekoin Godol Am Oretz has Kdim over Koin Godol Am Oretz. Menu Hanivil, how do you know this? Omer Avacha Bereder Bichnim de Makro, Yikorihi Mipninim. Now the Gemara elaborates. This is just the Gemara Masechta Horios, but here I have another Medrash which elaborates upon this very much. This is the Gemara in Yerushalmi. Okay, we don't come across. Not everyone here learns Yerushalmi yet. Daf Yomi Yerushalmi. That's coming up on the agenda for some people, but it's the Gemara there says Sovereign Neymar. And the Savin Meimar, they thought in the base Medrash to say, they elaborate upon this Chazal, Liftois Ulechasois Ulechachios. Two people line up at the soup kitchen. The Mamzer Am Haaretz and the Kohen Gadol. And they're both asking for handouts. They both want Mamzer Talmud Chacham and the Kohen Gadol. They both have the soup kitchen, or they're both in jail. They've both been captured, and we have to redeem them. Who gets to redeem first? Okay, so you redeem the Talmud Chacham, the Mamzer Talmud Chacham, or Ulechasas. They need clothing, Ulechachayos, soup kitchen, food. Okay, that's when we're going to give more kavod to the Mamzer. He has kedima. But what happens when it comes to kavod, pure honor? The Nasi, the Melech is here. Okay, the Melech has come to this. The Melech Yisrael. David Melech Yisrael is here. And there's a line waiting to give Shalom to the Melech. And who's on line? The Mamzer. The Mamzer Talmud Chacham and the Talmud and the Am Haaretz Kohen Gadol wearing the Big Day Shemayna with the tzitz and everything. And they're both on line to give to say hello to the king. To whom is the king Mechuyev to give greetings first? So the Gemara thought, Ad Kedei Kach, we would not go. That far we would not go. Even though we have a pasuk that says, Yikar Himipnim, we would not go so far. No, the Gemara, Yeshiva here interprets mean for Kavod. Who would he give Kavod for? Omar Rabbi Oven, Afli Yeshiva. Even Kavod, things that are not pressing, not dealing with food, clothing, redemption, even Kavod, my taima. That's what the pasuk says, and there's no exception. Yikarihi mip ninim afilu mitzeh shehu nichnas lefnai velefnim. Even when it comes to kavod, the amam's amaretz goes first. Okay. Now there is another very interesting thing. The Gemara says that we would think that Torah is compared to water. Hoy kol tzame luchulamayim, and water used to be free. Right? Not anymore. But it used to be free. Go to Tiffany's, how much does it cost to buy a pearl? Cost a lot of, even they sell pearls in Tiffany's, they sell diamonds. Yeah, sure. So it costs a hoin raf. You have to clean out your savings account to buy a pearl. So between the two, what's more chashev? Torah, which is water, which is compared to water, hoy called sami l'chulamayim, or pearls. Along comes the marriage says, Yalkut Shemayni, hoy called sami l'chulamayim, so Shema Toimar, Mamayim Elohim Damim, water has no value. Kach Divrei Torah Elohim Dam has no value. Tamulaymar Yikorihi Mipnimim V'chol Chafotzech Lo Yeshuva. That's what this pasuk is coming to address. Don't be misled. Don't be a darshan. Don't focus too much on homiletics. If you take homiletics too seriously, you'll say that Torah is water, and water is free. So Torah has no value. The real value in this world is the gold, silver, and pearls. Big mistake. Torah, even though it's free, has more value than pearls. Okay, now the end of the pasuk is another famous chazal, v'chol chafotzecha lo yeshuva, all of your desires do not equal. There is a contradiction in Sefer Mishlei. Here it says, v'chol chafotzecha, and at the end of Sefer Mishlei, not in, Perek Ches, Pasuk Gidal, V'chol chafotzim lo yeshuva. Two psukim which say not the same thing. So first of all, what's the difference between chafotzecha and chafotzim? Okay, so there are two midrashim which say similar but different ideas. One interprets chafotzecha to refers to money. Just gold, silver, your material possessions. Chafotzecha, your assets. When it says chafotzim, B'loshon Rabbim in Ches, that refers to mitzvahs. A person, this world, is here to be mekayei mitzvahs. What is more choshev? Mekim ha-mitzvahs atal m'torah. What if a person has an opportunity to do a mitzvah or to learn Torah, which one comes first? Well, we would not know. Kamash Malon, this pasuk teaches us, even ches chafotzim mitzvos is still not as valuable as lo yishuva, is not as valuable as Talmud Torah. As we say every day in davening, in the Mishnah of Eilu Dvarim Shelohem Shior, we conclude the Talmud Torah Kineged Kulam. So that's one important idea. Another approach is there's a contradiction. On one hand, we have Chafotzim. Both, according to the Medrash, we want to interpret both of them in reference to mitzvahs. And then that will result in a contradiction. So let me read the entire thing and see how this works out. Dover acher, v'chol chafotzecha yo yeshuva. So the diak is, only your private matters are not equal to Torah. The implication is, but Hashem's matters, meaning mitzvahs, the fulfillment of mitzvahs, are equal to the study of Torah. Right? Only chafotzecha. Things that are personal to me. My parnasa is not as important as Torah. But mitzvahs is just as good as learning Torah. Problem is, in Perikhas it says, even chafotzim, which means mitzvahs, even that is not as choshev as the study of Torah. Contradiction. So the answer is, there are different types of mitzvahs. Kan mitzvah she'efshar al yidei acherim, and there are mitzvahs she'efshar al yidei acherim. No one can put on tefillin for you. No one can take a lulav and eshrik for you. No one can observe Shabbos for you. A mitzvah that's e'efshar al yidei acherim, you have to do this. It's equal to the study of Torah. But a mitzvah that's efshar al yidei acherim, okay? Gemilas Chasadin. Person can as a young boy, right, comes right out of high school. He has an option. He can go to Chesed projects the whole day. He can go cross country delivering meals to poor people. Or he could sit in Beis Medrash. Or he can sit in Beis Medrash. He has time off. He can sit in Beis Medrash. So what should he do? Should he go on Chesed projects or should he go and sit in Beis Medrash? Someone else can take care of the Chesed projects. You sit and learn.
If everybody says that?
What? Then no one's going to do it. You're right. If you have a situation of Hatzolos Nefashos, right, in a Chanami, a situation where no one's going to do it, of course, then it's in the category of Eiv Shal Yidei Acherim. But when you have a mitzvah that's Efshar Al Yidei Acherim, let someone else take care of it. You, Lo Yishvu Ba, you kol chafotzim lo yishu ba, then Torah takes kedima.
Meis mitzvah.
That's what a meis mitzvah. By definition, a meis mitzvah. By definition, a meis mitzvah. A mitzvah shi'ev shai de acherim.
So all these things, including this statement from the Gemara or the Medrash that you made earlier, it's all about prioritizing.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. Okay, let's now go to. Okay, next pasuk, one more pasuk, quick pasuk, another famous pasuk. Oyachimim b'mina, b'smela, oyshev v'chavot. The land of days is in b'mina, is in the right, and b'smela in its left is oyshev v'chavot. Let's first see the mitzudas. The mitzudas pasuk says vav oyachimim ratzolaymar al yada. Yasik, through the study of Torah, person will achieve oyach yamim, he will length of days, which means olam habo, yom shekul aruch. The Oysha v'chavod and wealth and honor, period. Rabbi Seinu Zichron L'Racha Amru, what does this mean exactly? What do you mean? What do you mean the right and the left? So the right doesn't just literally mean the right, it means l'may minim ba. What's l'may minim mean? People l'oysek l'shma. People that learn Torah l'shem shamayim. They study Torah l'shem shamayim through l'shem shamayim. That's called the right. You're taking it you're embracing it for the good purpose. Then you merit orech yamim olam haba. L'shma, hilo. Lasek l'shma, hilo l'orech yamim. L'kol shkira. Here's what he's quoting the Gemara, we'll read in a moment. And if a person is oisek in Torah l'shma, he gets both. Not only does he get orech yamim, he'll also get osher v'chavot. I mean, don't take that literally, because there are many people that study Torah l'shma and we don't see them being very wealthy or having very. But this is what Chazal says that, yes. Doesn't say that, it's olam haba, it means loss of reward in this world. Okay, v'rabbi seinu, v'kol shekhenosh, this is v'kol shekhen. And if a person is ma'iminim ba, l'shma, he's zeichet to both. Aval, l'masmi'ilim ba, those people that take Torah to the left. Meaning, shaloi lishma, lo'iskim shaloi lishma, it's also good. Shemitach shaloi lishma, ba lishma. Im kol zeh, yihye oyesher v'chavod, you will also receive reward. But provided, of course, there's different types of shaloi lishma, the Rambam talks about this, there's a shaloi lishma, which in the very back of your mind, it should lead to lishma. Right now, I'm learning. Why am I learning? It's because kavod, money, but I also feel that it will serve as a means to ultimately one day lead to Torah Lishma. A person is purely 100% only doing this for the money, only doing this for the kavod, that's not even included in this category. That's completely off the charts. And the Rambam says, there's no such thing as starting out learning Torah Lishma. Anyone that tells you they learn Torah Lishma is fooling you. A person has to go through the steps. And maybe when you're 120 years old, maybe finally you'll come to Madrig of Torah Lishma. A child has to learn for the nuts, for the toys and the games. And then when he gets older, he gets to learn because they give him fancy clothing. And then when he gets 30 years old, the Rambam says the only reason why a person learns is to kavod. So they should call him a Rav. And then when he gets older, they give him other terms. There's no such thing. No one should fool themselves and think that they can learn Torah Lishma. An 18-year-old boy is sitting in Kollel, he's learning Torah Lishma. It's foolish. No such thing. There are ulterior motives. But the ulterior motives are all with the understanding that hopefully these motives will one day lead me to come to a madrega of Torah Lishma. You can't wake up when you're not 100 years old. Now I'm going to learn Torah Lishma. If you didn't go through the steps of getting all the games and toys and then getting covered and getting a job, a position, and making a lot of money and doing all of these things, and then becoming the head of some big reshiva, big institution, seeing your name in the paper every single day. If you don't go through these steps, you'll never reach the madrega of Torah Lishma. You can't skip steps. So it's very misleading, this song.
What you're saying is those of us who are listening to you today, obviously,
you're learning Torah Lishma. You've reached the level of Torah Lishma. Okay, look at Rashi. Rashi says, come out the same thing. Bimina. Kirashi says, Bimina, limayminim ba, the oiskim ba lishma. Limayminim ba means people that take the Torah in their right hand. The right hand there is a metaphor for learning Torah lishma. The oiskim ba lishma, orech yamim, they will receive the length of days, which is the term mostly referring to olam haba. The kol shekain osher v'chavod, and certainly he will receive in its wake osher v'chavod. The ule mas mi'ilim ba, it's a metaphor for she'oiskim ba she'loy lishma. Mikol makom, they're not going to receive osher v'chavod, but at least they'll get something. They'll get osher v'chavod yesh. There will be osher v'chavod. Okay, there is another there are some other midrash. I'll just tell you very quickly one of the midrash, and that is in the Beis HaMikdash, haroitze lehachkim yadrim, haroitze lehashir yatspin. V'simanech, the menorah is in the south, the menorah represents Torah, and the shulchan, which represents osher, is in the north. Now, when you are standing in the Beis HaMikdash facing outwards, meaning you're from eastward, which is eastward, which means you're standing from the perspective of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Shekhinah is resting in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So look at the world from Hashem's perspective, like Grand Central Station, right? The zodiac, the constellations. Right, it's backwards. Why is it backwards? Either the painter made a mistake, he copied, or he made the painting based on Hashem's perspective of the world. When you're standing in the Kodesh HaKadoshim and looking out at the world, the Mokom HaShuas HaShchinah, the right is the menorah, the left is the Shulchan, the Doraim is the menorah Ruchnias. And the left is the Shulchan, is Gashmias. Bimina, people that are focused on Lishma, on matters of spirituality, there is Orech Yomim. There is spirituality. Yom Shekul Orech is the menorah, the right. The left is the Shulchan. The Shulchan is Olam Hazeh, food, bread. The crown of the Shulchan, the represent, that's Lamas Ilim. There is Gashmias. So the north and south are also reference points of right and left, Bimina and Bismola. Okay, and you have also in Kohelet, they say the setting in Kohelet, when the sun rises in the east. But which direction does it travel when the sun rises? Hoylech el Doroim. This Saivev El Tzafon. When the sun rises, it's always rising towards the south. Right? The sun rises, it rises on an angle, it's always angling towards the south. And then when it comes midday, it then turns. Why is that Hashem create the world, at least from our perspective, from man's perspective, above in the northern hemisphere of the world? Why is it that man always sees the sun rising in the east, but always gearing towards the south, Halech El Dorim, to tell a person, go to the right. Go to the right, my son. Go Limaiminba Orech Yamin Bimina. Go west, young, right? Go west. Should we go south? Go south. Go south, young man. That's what it should have been. Right? That's really, from a Torah perspective, to the Torah perspective, it's go south, young man, because the south is the right part of the world. From Hashem's perspective, it's the right part of the world, and the right is the key of Orech Yamin Bimina. The south is, the left is also good, but that's secondary. Bismillah, you'll get that also. Soivev, that will eventually make its way around. But the ikar direction, the halicha, shall be elderim. Okay, we'll stop.